guy in the world. I'm John Batchelor. The headlines from Ukraine suggest that the ATACMS, the weapon system long promised, is now in action against Crimea. The headlines from the Middle East, from Gaza, is total fog of war, but it suggests that the war will last much longer than a few days, than a few weeks. The defense minister of Israel says a few months or many months. So we're settling into a crisis across Eurasia. The world island now has two conflicts, both of which are existential for elements in the combat. At the same time, the United States is party to both and is trying to balance both in political and diplomatic terms. I welcome Katrina Vandenhoevel of The Nation magazine. She's the editorial director and publisher, as well as a columnist at The Washington Post. Katrina, I mentioned right away that in Ukraine right now, there is a question raised, and we've talked about it before, about the focus, the time that the Washington establishment has for Ukraine, given the emergency in the Middle East. You talk to a great number of people about the balancing between these two. Right now, what is the concern about Ukraine and about the Middle East simultaneously? Good evening to you.
Thank you, John. Well, I think immediately you face a budget fight because this new speaker has announced, I believe, that he wants to separate the funding package, which President Biden has sought $61 billion for Israel and I'm sorry, for Ukraine and $14 billion for Israel. I understand the speaker wants to proceed, I think, with Israel first, and others support in his party support that. So that's going to be a fight. I think the larger fight, though, John, is people in the Democratic Party are warning Biden about how Israel is conducting its response to the brutality of the Hamas invasion, but also feel that he's out of step with the broader American electorate and losing support among younger voters that he needs to mobilize for his reelection. There are bigger issues, too, but, you know, there's this issue of the hypocrisy of so much attention. You mentioned the ATACMS to the brutality of civilian deaths in Ukraine, but not as much, it seems, when it comes to Palestine. So I think that these are the immediate issues that will arise, but will define the Ukraine-Israel landscape. As we've talked about, John, just briefly, I mean, these are already regional wars. They're not small, non-complex. The danger is, will they escalate? And that's where I think attention must be and is likely if people are doing their job being attended to.
There is no reporting now of diplomatic conversations anywhere, not in Ukraine, certainly not in the Middle East. I do know that there was a headline about Hamas delegation visiting the Kremlin and making promises about the eight Russian nationals, I believe it's eight, who are held by the Hamas terror organization in Gaza. But at the same time, and I introduce this because you've taught me over the years, Vladimir Putin came to power because he was effective against the North Caucasus. The North Caucasus, where Islam dominates, and the Chechens and the Dagestanis and other ethnic groups there are a constant worry at the Kremlin. Is that still true, Katrina?
So, John, let me step back where you talked about the visit to the Kremlin. I think there is diplomacy of a kind going on around the hostages. I think that has focused, concentrated the mind of the Israeli government and others working with them in the region. I also think there are many reasons for Putin coming to power. The main one was he gave immunity to Yeltsin and his family in first order. And never forget, the first Chechen war was conducted under Yeltsin. Certainly, there is a reporting that has been done over the last decade that Putin wanted to collaborate, ally with the United States in fighting terrorism, and that fell apart. He is a brutal, tough Russian leader. But I also think it's worth noting that he is a Kremlin leader who's had the best relationship with Israel. That has faltered and fallen, but they're due to the immigration of Russians to Israel. It's been a very, very different relationship. And the Kremlin has relations with countries in the Middle East. And don't forget the brutality of the attacks in Syria, where we nearly, where there was, U.S. involvement too. I do think there's some diplomacy underway that we don't see. Often, if it is, quote, back channel, it's more effective than in the news. So I wouldn't immediately rule that out. I think I mentioned that there's a Russian leader, Grigory Yavlinsky, who Russian newspapers cited visiting the Kremlin the other day, and he's the only leader of a political party who has stood steadfast with attempts to resolve diplomatically the Ukraine-Russian war.
The Ukraine war is, to my reading of history, far more threatening right now to the U.S., and because it undermines, if it goes the wrong way, it undermines NATO. That would be the place to start peace, not in the Middle East, which is decades of turmoil. But I do not see Kiev looking for negotiation. I do not see Washington looking for negotiation. You've mentioned Moscow. I don't see that.
But you know where this is going to come from, John? Look at what's going on in Germany. Germany's feeling more and more unstable. The right-wing party is coming to more and more power. The economy is failing, doing worse than Russia despite all the sanctions. I think in Europe you have more rethinking than you do in this country. And I think the idea that, you know, that Russia, if it moves forward as expansionist power, is a NATO kind of delusion because various reasons. I think both wars are extraordinarily dangerous. I think what they show is that the kind of rules of the world order, as President Biden and his team keep asserting, are not working. It's a broken system. And I think what we're witnessing in this kind of twilight is the emergence of new alternative rules of the road. And that's very tricky, very unstable, anxiety breeding, but it's real.
The instability of Eurasia, my measure is only from, you know, history reading. And history reading says that two wars are one too many, that it tends to, it has in history destabilized the area. Destabilizing the Middle East would mean Egypt would be vulnerable. Destabilizing Central Europe would mean Poland and the Baltics are vulnerable. Do you measure we're close to that? Are we still protected by our might?
No, I mean, what our might is often reflected in is weapons, and there are nuclear weapons in, correct me if I'm wrong, in some of this conflict going on. I think it's a very dangerous, unstable time, and it was prior even to these two wars. Not that dangerous, but it was unstable. And so I think it's going to be a long period of trying to repair. When you have one war, that's too much. And we haven't even talked about the humanitarian disasters we've witnessed in the meat grinder war of Ukraine-Russia,
right,
and now the humanitarian disaster of Gaza and the Palestinians, which I do think is a danger for the Israelis because the brutality of the Hamas invasion must be understood, must be seen, and never forgotten. But we're now going to enter into weeks of Israeli ground invasion, most likely, and bombs as well in Gaza, which is already a kind of prison unto itself.
And is rattling the Ummah, and acts of terror are come from people who are despairing. That's my thinking about this, that what we have here is a predicate for much worse. We can't even imagine it. I'm not going to guess. Katrina Vandenhoevel, editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine, and she has a column at The Washington Post. I'm John Nash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.